DraftSociety.com presents a Premier League Draft Fantasy Podcast. Welcome to the Key Pass Collective. Your exclusive source for the information, analysis, and advice you need to dominate your fantasy leagues. Come on in. We've been expecting you.
Draft heads, welcome back. It's so nice to see you. I hope your week is off to a wonderful start. This, of course, is the Key Pass Collective, and welcome. We are the audio companion to the Draft Society website, which, of course, has your rankings, your stats, your articles, everything else that you could possibly need for domination in this draft fantasy game. We're going to tell you a little bit more about some of the insider benefits that are available to people who want to join the inner circle. We also have a sweet deal running on that currently. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Joe Williams. I'll be the host for this particular podcast. We are also joined by Ryan and Toddy. We'll talk to them in just a real quick second. But first, let me just mention for you the aforementioned deal that we have going on. So this was a brainchild of Toddy, and we'll talk to him in just a second, which was such a fantastic idea. We thought, why not, you know, since we're basically almost halfway through the season-ish, why not offer a deal for the rest of the season? So instead of the normal annual plan to get the Inner Circle membership on the Draft Society website, why not just offer a rest of season plan for $20? Normally it's $50 from the beginning of the season. $20 is an incredibly discounted rate, and we thought, why not? Let's see if we can get some more people to check our content out and just see how much work and effort we put into this. So we've already had a lot of people sign up. It's been amazing. We really have been humbled by the response. We've even had several people, you know, who were already subscribed, subscribe for the rest of the season plan instead of another plan, which is totally fine as well. Let's just talk quickly. The Inner Circle, you're going to get rest of season rankings weekly. You're going to get player projections weekly. You're going to get a fixture difficulty tracker. We're going to cover a little bit more about that later. But that covers goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, and forwards all separately. You're going to get set piece takers, a tracker that weekly covers which players are taking set pieces and the percentage of those set pieces they're taking. Exclusive articles. You can send us an email for trade advice that is secret, that no one else sees. We've got subscriber-only podcasts. All sorts of things. So it's definitely worth it, and we put a lot of effort into it. We hope you guys check it out. That is the last of the advertisement that will be this podcast. But again, there is the special going on right now. Check it out. Rest of season special for only $20. All right, let's go ahead and bring in the lads. Fresh back from his overseas trip. Ryan, let's hear about it, man. How was it? How were your travels?
The trip was amazing. We had a great time in Dubai, and then the Maldives was just gorgeous. We had a blast. The trek back was a nightmare.
Okay.
It was included a boat ride, a propeller plane ride, two 16-hour combined flights, and I'm still jet lag, and I've woke up at like 4 a.m. the last two
good
days.
Lord.
Still feeling it, great trip. Now I'm back and streaming Joe Willick and wishing I was back on the beach.
We'll mention that later, but we won't rub it in. How's that? Another chap who is quite exhausted, maybe for different reasons. Toddy, how are you, man? How are things going in your household?
All good. We had a little COVID scare for my older daughter, but she's fine. And she's now perfect at administering PCR tests to her dolls, which is a plus, I think.
Yes, exactly. We need more volunteers every day, so this is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's if her number one career choice of being a garbage truck driver doesn't pan out, then she might make it as a doctor as well. But who knows?
That is incredible. I love that. I don't know why I love that so much. I think that's fantastic. It's one of those like, F the gender norms. You know, I'm gonna just do my own thing. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, we spend our mornings on the bike chasing the garbage truck around the neighborhood. So
it's so great.
It's I think it's natural that she's drawn to the profession.
Beautiful. I love it. All right. Well, Toddy, I already mentioned one of your brainchilds, the rest of season special that we've got going on. Or brain children, I should say. Let's talk about another one of your brain children. This was the article that we've recently released that gives some fantasy players some guidance in terms of this congested fixture season and some of the things they need to keep in mind, some of the things that we're going to be offering at the Draft Society. Would you mind giving just a quick rundown of kind of what is encompassed in that article?
Yep. So first and foremost, I'd like to thank our friends at Fantrax, who were kind enough to actually realize the importance of the information in this article, so much so that they managed to send this out to every Fantrax player ever. So if you're listening to this pod but you don't know what the Draft Society is, but you wanna see what I will be talking about in the next few minutes, then just go to your inbox that you use to log in to Fantrax and have a look around your emails. I think it was sent at the weekend or sometime around then. So without further ado, we had this article set up just to tell everyone or show everyone what we are going to do in the next few weeks and some general information about the upcoming fixtures. So we start with a schedule that is all the games from game week 13, which is already gone, to game week 21. So we have like tomorrow or when this pod is out, the 1st of December, we have 33 days of life ahead of us. And we have matches from game week 14 to game week 21 with a round of Champions League and other European matches and a round of League Cup matches in there as well. So there's a whole lot of matches to play, and we have streamlined our article selection as well, so mostly so that we conserve our energy as well as well as to not to overload our readers and listeners as well. So if you go to this article on our website, you can actually find a concise little schedule or table thing that will show you which articles will be released in which game week. So essentially, even in the shortest of game weeks, we will be releasing a waiver wire article. We will be updating our tables, which is the useful draft matrix, the fixture difficulty tracker, the set piece tracker, and the ghost points tracker. So all those will be updated every game week. And we'll definitely have a perfect 11 article, streamers and sleepers combo article, which we have merged into one for this period.
Yeah, probably
and
smart.
We will and we'll definitely have a start sit article every week.
Wow.
So that's the free articles. And for Inner Circle members, we'll have set piece takers every week, and we'll have points projections by Draftlet every week. And we'll have all the others will have sprinkled in there during the longer weeks, which means that whenever there's a break of more than 2 days,
which is super rare,
which is going to be super rare, we'll probably have articles coming at you fast.
This team works so hard. I'm humbled.
I mean, at points when we were discussing this schedule, I felt a bit like I'm not bringing the holiday spirit to the team, because I was hounding everyone to take on roles and take on articles, but it panned out, and I think if we manage this stretch out, it's going to be a Herculean effort from all of us. So I hope our readers and our listeners enjoy our content, and I hope they read the amazing amount of stuff that we put out.
And I would say the last thing is, if you're a commissioner out there, there is a really important bit in that article telling you how to set up waivers for your league. Because it's not, unfortunately, you know, Fantrax is so customizable. For everything we love about Fantrax, there's a few things where it's like, yeah, you know, this could be better. But remember, because it's so highly customizable, there's nothing that's really like super uniform in it. And that being the case, waivers are up to your league. It's not something like in American fantasy football where it's dictated by the platform itself. So check out the article, commissioners, because it's going to give you great guidance on how to set up your waivers. Anything else on that, Toddy?
Not really. I mean, if you have any troubles with the setup, feel free to DM the Draft Society account, and we'll be able to help you do the commissioner 101 training via DMs. But I think it's pretty straightforward. Essentially, if you're listening to the pod before Thursday, you should change the second day of the waivers to Friday. Essentially, that's it. You change it now, and that will take you all the way through to game week 21, where you can change it back to Tuesday, Thursday from January onwards.
In a nutshell, beautiful. I love it. All right, so let's get into it. So on the actual pod today, folks, we are going to be covering some streamers for this intense, crazy festive season. So we'll be talking about those first, and we're going to do that kind of through the lens of looking at the fixture difficulty tracker that is exclusive to the Inner Circle. But I'm going to kind of talk you through it and how it works, and we'll go through that real quick. Then, after that, any kind of remaining streamers that the fixture difficulty tracker didn't really narrow down for us, we'll give a shout out for those guys. Then finally, some listener questions. We did put out a little tweet for some listener questions today. It wasn't a super long time to respond, which is totally fine. So we only got the most devoted of... No, I'm just kidding. We only got a few people who saw it, but we'll get to as many of those as we can and see if there's any discussions that sprout up around those. So let's talk streamers. As mentioned, the fixture difficulty tracker, you know, you can see the upcoming schedules and strength of schedule for goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, forwards, and their separate tables. So probably best to start, let's start with defenders. I think this has been, you know, the season where we've really seen the value of defenders, you know, aside from just their clean sheet potential. And so that's been kind of a revelation this year. And that might be one of the things we mention a little bit later as it pertains to Ethan Pinnock, or Neil Pinnock, if you will. But But let's talk about defenders. So the top five teams for their upcoming, as far as their upcoming fixture difficulty, are going to be the easiest difficulty is going to be Manchester United, West Ham, Arsenal, Crystal Palace. That is interesting. Chelsea, and then six, I might as well throw them in there, is Brentford. So this makes me think just a little bit. You had a couple teams in there where there are going to be some obvious streamer candidates because they may not be rostered on all the teams currently. So Manchester United, West Ham, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Brentford. Ryan, does that make you think of anything? Does that give you a twinkle in your eye about any of these potential players? What do you think about those?
Man, it's going to be really tricky to navigate all of those. And as we saw with Newcastle today, and I'm going to harp back on Joe Willock.
Yeah.
Sometimes the fixture difficulty tracker goes against you. You think you got an easy matchup versus Norwich at home, and it doesn't work out that way. So sometimes these matchups don't really pan out the way you want. But I mean, streamers from those that pop out, and I'll mention them a little bit later. For Arsenal, I think Tavares and Tierney will be rotating for the rest of the season. So depending on those good matchups for Arsenal, he'll be a good streamer. Martinelli will be a good streamer as well during the festive season, coming in the last game and popping up for a goal. He'll be good to throw in there. What were the other teams you mentioned again?
This is just strictly defensively so far. Manchester United, West Ham, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Brentford. You mentioned Martinelli, so we're talking midfielders, right? Or is he still a forward? No, he's a midfielder.
He's a midfielder.
Okay, so that's City, Arsenal number two, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, United, and Burnley.
Yeah, for the defenders for West Ham is an interesting one because they've been oddly in flux of late with Soufal and Ben Johnson kind of swapping in and out. You have Mazuaku, who is, I think, collectively one of our favorite streamers. When he comes in, I think he'll get a few games. So yeah, I've seen Soufal on a lot of waiver wires. I think he just got picked up in one of my leagues this week, so he's one to watch. And yeah, like I said, Masuaku should be coming in, I think, for Cresswell, who picked up a knock, so he's somebody I'd keep an eye on as well.
So Toddy, actually, let's just go ahead and cover this because one of our listener questions was from John Hinnett at John00UK. He asks, is Soufal droppable? I mean, Ryan makes it sound like instead maybe pick him up.
Yeah, I think he was genuinely droppable, but now he isn't. So if you know what I mean. So I think Draftland mentioned that in his midweek cup article as well, that he played really well in Europe, and everyone on West Ham Twitter is clamoring for him to get back into the team and be given a chance again. So I think for that schedule, looking at that stretch of Burnley, Arsenal, Norwich, Southampton, coming from game week 16 to 19, I think you're going to start your West Ham defenders, and if Soufal is there, then he's definitely worth picking up, even if you're not starting him against Chelsea. But to be honest, I'm not very concerned about Chelsea rolling West Ham over for 9 goals or something like that.
Yeah,
like they did for Norwich. So in that sense, I'm not that worried about starting defender against Chelsea.
Sure. There. Yeah, that makes sense.
So if you're picking up Soufal and he doesn't start tomorrow against Brighton, then I'd still try to hold him.
Is there a chance that Craig MF Dawson gets a run out?
I think he
congested.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think
he's been a starter since
since Ogbonna's injury. Went out,
yeah. Oh, he's available in so many leagues.
I mean, they had a difficult run.
Yeah, that's fair.
Here, so I think he's definitely worth an add. I stashed Masuaku at the end of last game week, so I'm starting with a $0 spent Arthur Masuaku.
Oh wow! I like
hopefully,
that.
Hopefully, he starts against Brighton and he forces Moyes' hand into sticking Cresswell in a back three rather than back into a back four, giving even more freedom to roam for King Arthur.
Mm.
So yep, that's the dream. More likely Cresswell's gonna be patched up and there's no Masuaku start against Brighton.
Nobody
either
puts Cresswell in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been good this season.
Well, Dawson, I mean, if you're thinking about it, or if maybe you're in a tough spot and you just need somebody to stream, 10% rostered. So
yeah, he's definitely a good option, and also we've seen him come in and score a fair few goals as well. So
yeah,
it's definitely has it in his game.
So
pick him up for the Burnley game for sure.
Oh yeah,
And then Norwich 2 weeks later. Yeah, I like that.
That's beautiful.
You've purposefully omitted Arsenal.
Yeah, I'll actually be at that game, so I don't want any West Ham assets.
Oh, that's right.
At all.
Yep.
Nice. That's beautiful. You can't be cheered against your team. You can't.
No.
You can't do that.
No, I can't.
That'd be a good one, man. Nice.
Yeah. See, Southampton over the weekend, and then the West Ham midweek. So I'm hoping to God at least one of those games is a win. But who knows?
Oh, nice. All right. Any other like defensive streamers, boys, that we didn't mention with the fixture difficulty tracker?
Sorry, go ahead, Sonny.
My bad.
direct traffic here, too.
I know. I'm an air traffic controller, but I'm the worst kind. The planes are just crashing into each other.
Buzzing the tower.
Yeah.
I'm going to go left field on this. I think Ryan mentioned Kouyaté several times. I think it was once in Ghost Points and the week that he deputized for me in waivers, he put him in there as well. So I think he's a good shout, although he's ranked, he's playing in midfield, but he's a defender, so just be aware of that. And the other one I wanted to mention was the United defenders, who are all in the gutter currently.
Right.
But
they have the strongest upcoming schedule.
They have the best upcoming schedule for defenders, and also I cannot quote you the data on this, but I really have a feeling that when a new manager comes in, there's a more sustained bump for defenders because they tend to try to fix the defense first and then let the offense deal with scoring goals from individual efforts and stuff like that, rather than try to retool the offense and then go to the defense. So I think Rangnick coming in, he will set the defense straight, and then there will be a few good streamers. So I know he's not one of the sort of good fantasy assets, but I think Victor Lindelof could actually have a big role in Rangnick's defense. So obviously I'm not picking him up to stash, but if he in fact is becoming the alpha in that defense, then I want part of it. And also the other one is Alex Tellez, who has been playing since or has played with Shaw's concussion and could be a rival for that left back spot.
Can I play devil's advocate
for a second? Please. Well, I mean, it's United. You have to.
Yeah. I'm contractually obligated. From what I've read about Rangnick, and I think it rang true for Klopp's start in the Prem and Pep's for the most part as well. I think the emphasis on defenders making these line-breaking passes means that I think for the rest of the season in fits and starts, I think a lot of these defenders will make errant passes trying to implement that system, and will lead to some random kind of, you know, three goals conceded games. So I think some of these fixtures might look like traps, and I don't know how many clean sheets they're gonna keep up. So that's the only kind of caveat I guess I'd throw out there. But yeah, on paper it looks great.
Yeah, and also I think you'll see. Obviously, this fixture difficulty tracker is like an ecosystem constantly evolving, because it uses the data from weeks past to reevaluate the future weeks. So we will definitely see an uptick for teams that have this new manager bump. So like in this tracker. I'll give you an example. The best example is Norwich, who are definitely one of the best to face as a defender. But Smith has them playing solid football, and they're actually not the type of run you over, score 100 goals against you type of team anymore. So I think that will clear up a bit, and those numbers for Norwich will creep down. So things like form, so like Brentford used to be a very difficult team to play, but now they had a difficult run in the last few games, and their numbers have changed a bit. So it's worth checking back every week.
Yeah, we now see Brentford as scoring a 7.3. If you look at them, their color is yellow. And just to kind of quickly explain what's going on there. So 7.3 would be the average default Fantrax fantasy points scored by a defender when facing Brentford. Of course, the yellow is just a sort of symbolic color representation of the difficulty of the team you're playing. Like you said, Toddy, it used to be a lot worse with them because they were scoring a lot more goals, but now it's been, you know, fewer and further between.
Exactly.
Farther between. Yeah. I'm sorry. Farther between. It's a distance. I should know this. I'm an English teacher. Okay, moving on. Unless there's any other defenders you guys want to talk about.
I did want to shout out that Leeds festive season fixture list. My God. Chelsea, City, Arsenal, Liverpool in 4-game stretch.
Good God. I mean,
yeah. Good luck running out Junior Firpo during that run.
I don't want much to do with Leeds as it stands. So
yeah, Cooper's the only bright spot there.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I was gonna make a lowball offer for Patrick Bamford in the coming days, as he's building fitness and he's played a half of football in the under 23s. already, so he might be pushing for a start in game week 15.
Yeah.
Or at least to be in the squad.
The under-23s.
But then
Bamford in the under-23s.
But then they go on. So if he doesn't start in game week 15 against Brentford, then they go on a run, like Ryan mentioned, Chelsea, Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool. So yeah, I've withdrawn my offers. Let's just stick to that. Oh yeah, or I've changed the players that I'm offering. so yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get into midfielders. So let's have a rather short discussion. Given what we've just talked about with Leeds, yes, I'm going to go there. Would you guys sell Rafinha?
I think
everybody's
sell
got a
him.
Price.
Everybody has a price.
Yeah, I've seen.
I wouldn't be clamoring to do it.
No, not at all. I've seen him. Being packaged to get Trent.
I love that.
I would do 100%.
Totally do that.
So if you're selling Rafinha to upgrade and you're selling him on the round one value that he currently holds and has been holding since round one of the draft, I obviously... As Ryan said, everyone has a price, but I wouldn't be selling him on the basis of him being high and him falling off in this schedule, because he can nick a goal against any of the big boys, and obviously Leeds will be bad, but he'll have his 3-4 dribbles and two or three key passes, so he'll get you the 10 points that you expect from him without a goal or an assist. So I'm not that worried.
Would you package him for, say, Bruno? Would you do him plus one for Bruno right now?
Well, Bruno is a different animal now.
Bruno in and of himself is struggling mightily.
Yeah, that's why I ask, because it's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
I would. Manchester United is fifth on the difficulty tracker over the festive period. They need Bruno. He's the linchpin. You have Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Norwich, Brentford, Brighton, Newcastle. Like if that is not a schedule that is going to help somebody who is struggling with form recover said form, I don't know what I can do for you.
Yeah, I would do it if I needed the upside. If my team was cruising along with Rafinha, I don't think I'd do it. But if I was like fourth or fifth and needed like a boost in the second half of the season, high risk, high reward, I would probably take the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that huge of a difference between Bruno and Rafinha. Rest of the season.
Okay.
So if the package includes a player that is like a classic sell high, then yeah, I'd do that. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And I think there are question marks all around United and how they will set up and who the personnel will be. So I'm not actively seeking out United players to trade in.
All right, Toddy, you said trade for round one value. This is the last I'll mention Rafinha, but you said trade for round one value. I'm going to give you just a what if. It's a 2-for-1 trade, which I normally hate, but I'm sending away Rafinha, and I'm going to get Rudiger from Chelsea. They are fifth on the defensive fixture difficulty tracker. Then I'm also going to get Dwight McNeil from Burnley, who are sixth on the fixture difficulty tracker. 2-for-1. Would you do it?
Honestly, Dwight McNeil is almost as good as Rafinha. The only thing missing from McNeil's game is the upside.
That's a pretty big miss, though, isn't it? Like,
and the war is missing a little bit.
Yeah, the war.
It is a big miss. I give you that, but
so you do it
with the way Leeds are playing. To realize Rafinha's upside, he needs other players to play well around him.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
So Rafinha alone will not bring that much upside, and currently he's very much alone. So currently, as it stands right now, Rafinha is on 179 from 12 games played, and McNeil is on 136 from 12 games played, but McNeil only has one assist, no goals in that, and Rafinha has 6 goals, no assists. So in that sense, actually McNeil's ghosts are better than Rafinha's ghosts. So yeah, I would do that.
We do the trade. All right.
I would do the trade, yeah.
So that's the kind of trade that you could potentially target. I mean, I I'm not usually one for two for once, but this might be a situation where
you're banking on McNeil's boringness value.
Oh, for sure.
Because everyone will be like, Dwight McNeil. But then if you have a look at his numbers, then he's, yay, Dwight McNeil.
I feel like his managers know, though, right? Like, Dwight McNeil managers know that what they have. Like, they know that they stumbled onto something pretty great this season.
They should.
Yeah.
They really should.
22 tackles won. That's surprising.
For McNeil? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's one of his best stat categories.
You know what I'd like to know, Ryan? I don't know if you can effort this for me quick. Who has more dispossessions now, Zaha or Rafinha on the season?
Rafinha has 16.
So I'm not.
It's got to be. Never mind. It's
yeah.
Zaha,
I mean, Zaha has
close.
16 in two games.
Stretch. Yeah, 50. He has 50 dispossessions.
Okay. That is what, 25 fantasy points?
Yeah.
25 fantasy points just left on the table because of the dispossession. That's insane. That is insane to me.
The next closest in dispossessions is Jordan Ayew, and he's got 28.
And, okay, how many successful dribbles does Zaha have?
Let's see here. 26?
So double the dispossessions.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just
so I mean, one of every dribble he gets dispossessed.
Yeah.
No. Two of every three dribbles.
Right.
So he's trying three dribbles and two of those are going to shit.
Oh man. Okay. Well, anyway, that was a nice little thought exercise. Okay. Any other midfielders, guys? We talked about Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, Manchester United, and Burnley having the strongest schedules coming up, or I could say the easiest schedules coming up. Tottenham being a close seventh, I guess you could say, just with the new manager potentially, you know, playing into that. So, Ryan, let's go back to you. Any of those strike a nerve? Any of those make you tingle?
The Liverpool midfield is really intriguing.
Yeah.
Just like the last 3 years, you can't really make heads or tails of it. One week Henderson's decent, another week Thiago's in, Oxlade-Chamberlain's okay. I mean, nice run of games, but who knows what to think of that midfield. So it's going to be streamers and punts for them. Arsenal's midfield is pretty similar.
They don't rotate much. Are they going to, though, you think?
Yeah, I think the Odegaard Lacazette rotation is going to probably continue in the festive season, but Yeah, otherwise there's not much.
Big question is, when is Xhaka back?
He's back training.
Is that the big question, Toddy? Really?
I mean, I think it is, because it I think he walks back in. I don't know. I'd love to hear Ryan's view on that, and not the view of what he would do, but what he thinks would happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Yeah, Arteta rates him,
and I'm not sure how he will set up. But it might just be a straight in and out. So he comes in, and either Lokonga or Partey comes out. But yeah, I think
if everybody's fit, he comes straight in for Lokonga, who's had a good run, but still, you know, 21 years old, and one for the future. So especially for big games, he seems to like the Partey Xhaka combo, which worked well in the North London Derby, the game that Xhaka got injured. But he's back in training, and he might be in for the United game. I'm not sure. He's very close.
But Toddy, for fantasy purposes, why is that the big question?
I mean, because I think the only player or streamer that we can genuinely suggest to pick up is Lokonga.
Oh,
and if he's out of the team because Xhaka is coming back in, then I don't see much streamer value in Arsenal's defense or midfield, because I think we've established last time around with Draft Lad that Odegaard's value is tied to his set pieces, and we've seen that he has priority ahead of Saka and Smith Rowe, but for his set piece value to be realized, Pepe has to be out of the lineup as well. So it's like a domino effect on the front four. Anyways, I think I'm not sure that either of the front four are going to be available on waivers. I'd only think that Lokonga and the defense is available.
Oh, I think Pepe will be there.
Well, he hasn't been dropped in any of my leagues yet.
Seriously? Oh man, yeah. I have seen him dropped a couple places, and that was one that I wanted to mention. Like, I mean, if you see him on your waiver wire, like, and there's any chance that he's going to start, that's an obvious add. For the festive season.
Stash him for the festive season, for sure.
No, then you drop him, obviously. Yeah, for sure.
But I wouldn't overpay.
No. Yeah.
Because the fact that he's been healthy and out of the team, and all signs point to him not coming in, although Saka has a knock as well, that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
To how much Arteta doesn't trust him.
Right.
So yeah, surely he'll get a game or two during the festive period, but you might end up dropping him and trying to pick him back up and stuff like that. So I wouldn't spend more than one or two Fab dollars on him.
Yeah, he unfortunately pretty similar to another one of Ryan's favorite players, Adama Traore. You know, he has the flash and the lightning, but a lot of times it just amounts to nothing.
I resent that.
Sorry. Okay. Other midfielders, Ryan, I'm going to come back to you. Other midfielders that are maybe not in this top group in terms of the fixture difficulty.
Taking a look. No Newcastle midfielders.
Nope.
Ever.
Especially none named Willock.
Yeah. Southampton's interesting. Because St. Nate might be on the wire again since he got COVID and hasn't really come back to start yet. And of course, everybody's still waiting on Stuart Armstrong to come back in. So those are interesting.
I think Armstrong's a streamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Redmond is as well.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, but yeah, both of those are streamers.
Yeah, but Upside, like good streamers.
Yeah. Right.
And I think El Ghazi is going to get a good run.
Let's go.
In the festive season, that includes a Norwich, Burnley back to back. Yeah, Stevie G's come out and said that he rates him, and there was some rumors of him leaving potentially in January, but I think from all reports he's put an end to that. So I'm definitely gonna keep an eye out on him starting a couple of those games.
Okay, if you see him in the lineup for City, Liverpool, or Chelsea, are you still playing him?
No,
you're not for either of those three or any of those three. Okay. No. All right, so but Leicester, Norwich, Burnley, you're willing to slot him in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Again, the question about El Ghazi, I think, is which or maybe Ryan, you know the answer to this, but obviously we haven't seen the even in his starts, which he's had a fair few this season, we haven't seen the El Ghazi of last year. Mm-hmm. So is that due to tactics, or is that due to him having less freedom because there's no Jack Grealish to ask for double coverage from the defense, or what do you think? What do you think the drop off in points per start production is attributed to with El Ghazi?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, Villa in general was disjointed, and there was a stretch in which nobody did well. I think the lack of Grealish pulling off defenders is also a good shout. And yeah, Ghazi thrives off of, you know, shots on target, and so watching
rolling balls to the goalkeeper.
They all count.
Hey, that's a shot, man.
And so he's just missing them by a little bit. Last year he'd force a save. This year he's just missing the post. But I'm hoping that Stevie G gets Villa back firing, and now Ghazi's coming back. And his golden run was last December, so he loves the festive season.
All right. Nice. The lad likes to get in the spirit.
He does.
It's good. It's good.
Very.
Yeah. And Ryan already mentioned him, but I like the Ox in the schedule. And also, I mentioned this on the last pod, and I'm doubling down on this take. And come back at me if this doesn't happen, but before his two injury average seasons, he actually did start in the front three a lot. So when AFCON comes around, look out for him starting in Salah's spot. With Jota on the other side and Firmino centrally.
As a fan, it makes me a little bit nervous, but that's okay. I guess we'll trust in Klopp. You've also mentioned, or at least on our notes, you've mentioned a player that I mentioned as well, one James Milner. I think that he's one of those where you just wait until lineups are released, or maybe like 10 minutes before if you're feeling overconfident, and just trot him out if he's playing, pretty much, right? I mean, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed in a very few of the matches, but for the most part, he's going to get you the points you're looking for, and potentially even, you know, surprise you with a pretty decent return.
Yeah, I think James Milner is one of those guys who you start and not think about it,
mm-hmm.
because he's getting a few sets. He's gonna put in a shift. He's gonna be everywhere on the pitch. He's gonna he's gonna have tackles. He's gonna have crosses. He's gonna have everything. So he's aiming for the full house.
What, man, with AFCON and everything, Toddy, would he be worth holding?
If he gets a cameo tomorrow,
okay,
I'd consider that, yeah.
Holding him through like January 1 or whatever, like, you know, through the end of the festive season?
I'm not one to look that far ahead in this festive season. So I'm
fair enough.
I actually made a big trade in my home league, which was twofold. So for one, I made the trade with a guy who's only recently joined the league, and he's only won two games.
That first year is hard.
He was on the verge of like phoning it in. But the other reason was to make space. So I actually did, and this is going to sound crazy. I did Mane, Corne, Tarkowski, and Hudson-Odoi for KDB and a whole bunch of Fab.
Oh, wow. Jesus. That is intense.
Yeah, I mean on value, that's too much. That's definitely too much to give up. And I actually did lose the game straight after the straight after the deal. But I'm confident in my fantasy knowledge and streaming ability to come out stronger at the other end.
All right. Okay. I like it.
The upside's roster spots during the festive season, and obviously
that's my thinking, because I get the Fab for the incoming transfers. Yeah. I get the roster spots to stream, Jeffrey Schlupp.
I love him. Today. I was just gonna mention him.
I'm quietly optimistic, and he's over the moon. And he's fully in, and he's fully committed to the league. So there's a win there as well.
That's how altruistic of you. That's fantastic. I love it.
Let's check back in on this guy mid AFCON. See how he's feeling.
On Liverpool, I forgot to mention Tsimikas. Double check and see if he's available in your leagues. He is less than, well, just barely 50% rostered. So that's one thing to check out. On the midfielders, Milner, we mentioned. Schlupp, Toddy mentioned. Low-hanging fruit because he did well today. But still, he's out there in many, many leagues, and he will be, you know, rotated throughout this season. And we've seen him score well on ghost points, even if you don't think he's doing much on the pitch. He just does somehow. So, any other midfielders, boys, before we move on? Okay, cool. I love that. All right, let's talk forwards real quick, and then we'll get to some listener questions. We'll kind of quick fire those so we don't go super long on our listeners. But forwards, the top, I don't know, we'll go with seven, fine. The top seven, just because I want to end with Chelsea because I think it makes sense. But the top seven, Manchester City, Burnley, Crystal Palace, Liverpool, Arsenal, Norwich, and Chelsea. So this makes for some interesting talking points, I suppose. Ryan, do you make anything of that, and do any streamers pop out to you?
Nothing for Burnley. I'll never stream Vidra or Chris Wood.
And Cornet's already owned.
Yeah. Palace, Edward's not available in any of my leagues.
Right.
Noir had a stinker today. I don't like IU at all.
Some leagues, Benteke is still out there, which he shouldn't be.
I mean, he may have been dropped today when they saw he's not starting.
Yeah, but in 30 minutes, he still had, I think, double the points that Edouard did. And that's only one of the last, like, four games he hasn't started.
Yeah,
so
I'd be
crazy to drop him.
He should be rostered.
With the festive season coming up. So, yeah, if he's on your wire, I would absolutely pick him up. City, there's no forwards on the wire other than maybe Ferran Torres, who has that long-term injury. I don't know when he's coming back, but one to watch.
One to watch because he's going to Spain.
Maybe. I'm not sold on that. All of these Barcelona transfers are crazy because they couldn't even keep their greatest player of all time, so they don't have any money.
The last I saw, Barcelona said, hey, we really want Ferran Torres and we're willing to give you, and it was like seven players. Like,
I was going to say it would have to be a swap.
Yeah, take your choice of Coutinho, Sergiño Dest, like just et cetera. And it was like, you know, hey, if any of these, it was like the guy who walks up to you and like opens his coat and he's like, are you interested in a Rolex? And you're like, those aren't real.
Yeah. I wouldn't take any of those players if
Pedri or Gavi or in fact Sergiño Dest was on the table, in a 2-for-1 or something like that, then I'd consider that. But other than, well,
none
I was
of the players
say,
they actually want to get rid of.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, they're not taking any of the
TT,
yeah, and Coutinho and players like that. So, yeah, I don't think any of the Barca rumors that are hanging around are worth anything. Honestly. All right.
Fair enough.
I know this is not a Spanish football podcast, but Xavi has come in and doubled down on Koeman's already extensive use of La Masia products. So I fully believe that this now they've realized that Xavi is their man, and they finally got him in. And I think this is going to be a long rebuild based on La Masia again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not seeing huge transfers in the upcoming few years for Barcelona. They're gonna be good without the big name transfers in.
Yeah, that makes sense. Slowly but surely, not make the same mistakes you made previously. Yeah, I think you're right.
But if they're bringing in anyone, that Ferran Torres is a good shout, though, because they are good at turning former Valencia players into superstars.
Yep, there it is.
God,
Ryan, yeah. any other thoughts? You didn't mention necessarily Liverpool, Arsenal, Norwich.
No one in Norwich.
Okay.
Origi is an interesting streamer over the festive season. I assume he'll get a few starts during AFCON. I mean, he's one of the few games in town, so he's someone I'm keeping an eye on. Always has a worldie under his belt.
When would you pick him up for AFCON? Like, when would you try to bring him in?
Probably the game before. Chelsea, I think, is when that starts.
Okay.
Still TBD if Mane and Salah are able to play that Chelsea game. So around there.
Okay. Okay.
But I'd stream him in the meantime if he gets a run during the festive season. No forwards on Arsenal. Eddie Nketiah is not going to get a freaking start. And if he does, don't not play him.
Love it. Okay. Tidy, any thoughts on these top teams on the difficulty tracker?
Yeah, I wanted to pivot to one of the questions asked by our listeners, especially about the trade value for Mahrez.
Mm.
So, obviously he started one game finally.
Mm-hmm.
And he... Did he get an assist? I think he got...
No, I don't think so.
I think he got an assist or a goal.
I thought he had like 10 points from all just from all ghost points.
He hit the post.
Yeah. So what do we see? What do we see for him there? I think he's...
He had 13. 13. No assists. One second. This was West Ham, right? So he had...
Yeah, one assist.
Played 90 minutes. Oh, he did have an assist. I apologize. Yeah.
Jesus, 13 with an assist? That's trash.
Yeah. Yep, 3 key passes, 13 with an assist. That's really, really bad. One block shot, and that was literally everything he did.
Yeah.
So, a packet of crisps, or are you looking for more than that?
Yeah. I mean, if it's decent crisps. I think we've gone down cocktail. This. Yeah, we've gone down this road before. Before, so I think if there's a soda involved as well, I'd be inclined. Yeah, yeah.
If it's a beer, I'll rip your arm off.
Yeah, I mean, I know no one's offering you beer. I think it's like I wouldn't do it for Ready Salted and the Lilt. I would do it for one of the nicer salt and vinegar ones, and maybe Apple Tango.
Okay, all right.
But I appreciate that you Americans might not know what those drinks are.
I knew a couple of those things you said.
Let me Americanize the metaphor. I'd do it for a Natty Ice and a pack of Frito-Lays.
I miss Nathaniel Phillips, man. Natty Ice.
I was talking about the beer, but yeah,
I'm aware.
For Phillips as well.
Do you guys know of, Toddy, I'm assuming you don't, Ryan, do you know of Cheer Wine?
No.
Okay, there's never a soda here in North Carolina that's called Cheer Wine. Cheer Wine, like wine, like normal wine, except for it's a soda. Yeah, it's non-alcoholic, and it's basically like Dr. Pepper, but with more sugar and more cherry. It's, gross. Yeah. It's very
those are the two things that Dr. Pepper is too much, too much of start with.
It's very sweet. Like it's incredibly sweet. It's the South basically in a bottle.
Joe, do you know from the Midwest? You might. I don't know how far it spreads. To be honest, a late one. Do you know that?
No.
Because it's spelled like ale. A late one. It's kind of like 7-Up. We have it in Ohio and Kentucky. I didn't know.
That's not a thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's one of those regional sodas, I guess.
I like it. All right, so anyway, Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah.
So the answer is no.
No.
I'm struggling to figure out what I would trade for him because I just don't want the headache.
I have the headache and I don't want it. I would do anything.
What would you accept?
Trade for Fab.
What would I accept? That's a great. Yeah. Take
the roster spot and save up for January.
Yep, that's not a bad shot.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. In this league, I have zero, so it wouldn't do a whole lot of good. But
I mean, you can try the Jesus owner. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would target somebody like a Mark Cucurella. You know, like somebody who is like kind of flying under the radar but like low key pretty good.
Could you do Declan Rice?
Doubtful, but maybe that's actually not a bad shout.
Yeah, because I mean, even though we are out on Mahrez, we still have to acknowledge that he has upside. So it wouldn't be uncharacteristic of him to score a 50-pointer. Unlikely this season, but we wouldn't be surprised if it's like who scored a 50-pointer this game week. And if the answer was Mahrez, then we'd be like, they played Norwich or Burnley or some other shit team like that.
Right.
And we'd be over. So yeah, I mean, not many players have that kind of upside.
Do you think, this is going to be as telling as it needs to be, do you think that the Joshua King manager would trade him for Riyad Mahrez?
He could, because Watford are penultimate in that exact fixture difficulty tracker for forwards.
Exactly.
They have Chelsea, Manchester City, Brentford, who are actually almost as bad as Manchester City.
Yeah, why are they in the red? Chelsea. They've been conceding goals like nobody's business. I guess it goes back to the... It still needs to adjust to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've just kept a clean sheet. And I think it's more holistic than that.
Yeah.
So if like if someone scores a goal against them, then that player gets 12 points for the goal. And if they're not allowing shots and if they're not allowing players to score aerial duels on them, then that number will still be low, even though they concede one or two goals a game.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Like, if they're playing Crystal Palace and I don't know, whoever's there, Benteke scores a goal against them and gets 20 points, but Ayew and Zaha get zero each, then that's 20 divided by 3.
Which what you described is 100% possible, because Zaha had 17 dispossessions in that match. So that all checks out. All right, Ryan, back to you quick. Any other forwards you want to shout out?
Let me get through. Not really.
I have Lacazette down. I don't know how rostered he is.
Yeah, I don't think he's not on any of my wires.
Okay.
He's around 50-60, but the thing is, with Lacazette, he needs to score a goal.
Yeah, he really does.
Because he's been playing well. Honestly, he's been playing really well, and he's been one of the best players on the pitch for certain periods of play. But he's not getting there to score a goal.
He's been winning penalties for Aubameyang, who's been whiffing them.
Oh,
and
good
he's
call.
He's been getting hooked. He's been getting hooked super early, like 60th minute, like clockwork. Just when he's kind of getting going. So, yeah, he's been pretty underwhelming fantasy-wise.
I mean, I don't blame him for being frustrated with that. I think he's... You saw his comments, right, this week, where he's basically touting teams to come get him. Like, hey, I'll sign a pre-contract, just put it in front of me.
His attitude has been great. Like, he's been exuberantly celebrating the goals and, you know, has been working his socks off when he's come in. So he hasn't been, like, downing tools because of the contract situation. But I think he's just realized that it is what it is and that they're not going to offer him a new contract. But, yeah, that hasn't been putting me off that much unless he decides to go somewhere in January. But I think he's just leaves on a free in the summer.
Yeah. Toddy, any other forwards that you're looking at for streamers?
Christos Tolis.
Oh.
He scored 7 points in 45 minutes. I have no idea why he was hooked at halftime. It had to have been a knock or something, because he was really good. He was very lively, stretching the defense, putting in crosses, getting shots off and on target. So, yeah, I think whenever he plays on Norwich and you are stuck for a 4-3, then he's a decent shout.
Beautiful. Yeah, no one else was going to say that. I love that. Key pass, 2 shots on target, 1 accurate cross. Not bad. Okay. All right. All in 45 minutes.
10-man Newcastle, but...
10-man Newcastle. Fair. True.
Yeah, I mean, you're not streaming him against anyone decent, but there's Spurs in there. There is United in there.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, keep in mind, the Norwich schedule is pretty friendly.
Yeah.
So.
Fair.
All right.
The other person I would shout out is Daka. You got to think that he'll get a couple games.
You have to.
During the festive season.
But he has AFCON, right?
No.
He doesn't? We keep saying
Zambia,
this, don't we? I keep saying this. That's my
keep
fault.
Going back and forth. I don't... I need to just look it up and just put
it to bed, Zambia
I'm
didn't
almost
make
positive
it.
That Zambia didn't make it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Got it. That's my fault.
He'll be on the wire because he hasn't started since the Eclipse.
I was gutted because I'm a huge Zambia fan.
I know you are. The Zambian national team.
Dude, you are a huge Zambia fan.
Yeah, I mean, I was this close to just logging off because you keep on forgetting that Zambia. I mean, it's like turning a knife in my heart.
I know it really, and it's just so it's unexcusable really by me, but that is what it is, you know. Sometimes I'm forgetful.
Do you know the I mean, Toddy knows this, of course, given the fact he's a huge aficionado. But do you know what their nickname is?
Oh, no.
I only know it in their native language.
that's true. The copper bullets.
Beautiful.
Yeah, copper's a big natural resource there.
I don't mind that.
No.
All right, you ready to jump into listener questions real quick?
Don't want to talk about Zambia?
Well, that'll be a separate podcast. Okay. All right, so quick fire.
We have so many podcasts to
yeah,
do.
Start getting into these separate podcasts.
I mean, the porridge one, we'll do that one eventually.
I think you guys are going to do hip-hop one.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And we're going to get Sharp Parliament on for that one. And we're going to do an American... Actually, no, not just American. Toddy, you can be on this one. We're going to do a niche sodas one. So yeah,
I like the niche sodas one.
It's good. Okay. All right. Anyway, listener questions. Let's do this. So FP Elements at FPL, EMENTS. He is asking, is Genie not on the pod because he's busy playing soccer? Or is he avoiding you because we're going to give him a hard time for his opinions? So, my God. I don't know that Toddy can talk about this anymore, to be honest. But the Rafinha-Sancho debate has been ridiculous this last week. I will just say this. So, Genie's actually suffered some abuse because of this, which is ridiculous. Like, anybody who's going to take these kinds of, you know, against the grain rankings to heart so much that you're going to text or DM somebody something that is offensive and just like a ludicrous thing to say to another human being, like that's not okay. But that aside, Genie got the KDB shout right, which Sean Conley mentioned, at Sean W. Conley mentioned in the comments. Not only that, he also basically got the Leeds shout right. Like, he's been right about Leeds all year. Rafinha, not quite, because he's gotten his ghost points. But aside from that, what's he gotten wrong, really?
I mean, drafting Sancho in the top 10.
That's fair.
Second overall.
But he still believes in him.
But no, I mean, his points are, you know, he gets 3 out of 4 right. So every time he comes with a left field shout, I mean, I it's all love when we, obviously, yeah. Goes without saying when we debate these things. So yeah, the vitriol is absurd. But yeah, we can debate these things and keep it civil.
Right.
Just to tell FP Elements and everyone listening to pod, Genie's not coming on the pod because we would give him flag, because we give him enough flag in the DMs and the Slack channel and the WhatsApp group, and I mean,
he hasn't left any of those platforms.
He hasn't
yet.
So it's not that. I think he actually answered the question there with a pretty sincere effort on that, saying that life is just has come thick and fast, and he's enjoying it, but he's not getting the time to join the pod, which is a shame.
Yeah. All right, some real questions. How about Carol at Cade? You know, we always love Cade. He's always at us with questions, and subscriber to the Inner Circle, just awesome dude. So Cade is asking, what is the trade value of players like Mahrez, which you mentioned, we talked about that. But he also mentions Azpilicueta and others in a similar position that are being rotated out in most Premier League games. But when they play, they deliver. So, Ryan, let's start with you.
I actually have Azpilicueta in one of my leagues, and yeah, it's been frustrating him getting a lot of starts in the beginning of the season, and then the last month not so much. And obviously, you depend on him, so it's because it's Chelsea, it's hard to cover, because obviously all of their defenders, for the most part, other than like Sar, are taken. So yeah, it's been frustrating, but I'm definitely holding him now with Reece James getting a knock in the festive season and Christensen having a contract dispute. So I actually think that he's going to start a fair amount of these games in the next month or so. So yeah, while I'm frustrated the last few game weeks, I think things are going to turn around a bit. And then after that, maybe you want to deal him out because you just don't want to deal with the rotation and the headache. But for now, I'm holding.
I think that sounds right to me, Toddy.
I agree. I think we were quite adamant about holding Chilwell through the thick, and it's a bit of a similar situation. It's Tuchel roulette, but Tuchel roulette is not the same as Pep roulette. So Pep just chops and changes his lineups week in, week out. I think we can say that Tuchel is a bit of a going with one guy for a few weeks and then abandoning him for a few weeks and then going with him again for a few weeks. So I can actually see a similar pattern to what Ryan is saying, that Spilicueta will come in this midweek and I fancy him to start most of the festive schedule.
Yeah. I mean, especially with Chilwell out now, you've got to think, if you have Aspie, just hold him. Because, I mean, what the worst that can happen is you wait another couple of weeks and then you drop him.
Trade for him.
The worst that can happen is you drop him now, somebody else picks him up and then enjoys the festive run with him just bringing back boatloads of points.
Yeah, there's some costs.
Yeah. Okay, Toddy, back to you. FPL inverted winger at FPL_IW. At what point do you start accepting high drafted players may not play enough to be worth their value at drafting, and what value would you consider trade outs? We talked about a little bit of this, but he brings up Traore, Buendia, KDB, potentially even Mount. So basically, we're talking about rotation players who haven't lived up to their draft day value. I mean, I think this varies based on the manager and your play style, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think you can't have a rule that fits all. But generally, if you still want to talk about this question in general, I think around this time, so when the third of the season is already gone, you're looking at a very, very congested period with a lot of rotation and a big need for roster spots and cover players to cover your top level assets. This is the time to decide on who goes up or who stays the same, or who you have faith in and who doesn't. So, but that has to be evaluated team by team, player by player, because you might have a roster with, Ethan Pinnock, James Tarkowski, and Luka Dean in defense. In that case, you can easily keep Azpilicueta.
Oh yeah,
because you know that the other three will start every game, come hell or high water.
Yeah,
and you can plug Azpilicueta in when he starts. It's the same situation with forwards and midfielders. So obviously, midfield is a bit more difficult of a position because there aren't many good midfielders. But it's very difficult to trade low on players. I know And it might have been overshadowed by the Rafinha for Sancho comment, but another advice that Gini had in that article that sparked all the outrage was to trade out Emi Buendia, which is essentially a sell low position
right
on Buendia, because obviously he is far, far away from his draft day value of potential top 10 or around that. Definitely end of first half, first round, beginning of second round value. So I think that in this whole topic, that's the most difficult one. When is it time to sell low? And I think for that you have to go beyond fantasy points, and you have to have a look at the situation they are in that certain team, the in real life performances. Like for example, I think a good example there is James Maddison, who has been fantasy poo. so to say, for the first few weeks, but we, and I think Draft Lad was at the forefront of this, have been adamant about him coming good, and look, now he's starting to put together some good performances. I think it's the same with Jadon Sancho, same with a few guys who have already started turning it around, but to realize whether they are a sell low or a hold, you have to look beyond the fantasy value and beyond the actual points that they put on the board, and you have to start looking at things like in real life value and how their relationship with the manager is. Is there a new manager in? Is there much competition for their spot? Stuff like that, which the data on the Fantrax page doesn't tell you.
Beautiful. Yeah, incredibly thoughtful answer. Ryan, anything to add on that?
Nah, not really. How do you follow that? No, I mean, beautiful. For draft day value changes almost probably after like the third or fourth week, and certainly by now you're not going to get draft day value obviously for Mount or Dom or any of these other guys right now. It's just how much you're willing to give up, and now is the time of sunk costs draft day value, and how much you believe in a turnaround or not. And yeah, as Toddy said, Maddison is certainly tested the patience of a lot of managers. I don't know if we'll get into it later, but yeah, I'm still not sold that this 1 week wonder is going to continue.
Oh, I'm not either. I put out offers everywhere and none of them have been accepted.
There's healthy skepticism amongst the ranks.
So speaking of, Ryan, I'll come right back to you. We got one more question and then we have our sign-off question from our friend Brisbane Brando. So this was DM'd to me from a listener who will remain anonymous because I believe he wanted trade advice. But sorry, we're going to go ahead and just air it to the public. He's wondering if he should trade out Rafinha for Sadio Mane and James Maddison.
100%.
I think I would. Roster construction notwithstanding. But yeah, because you... yeah, I think I would.
Even with AFCON, with Maddison, long maybe term. Goes back to getting you 2.5 if on a good day.
It's closer than I think it appears on paper. Yeah, because normally you'd be like in a second. But yeah, with AFCON and Maddison being just bad, and with Tielemans coming back, I think Maddison reverts to form. But roster construction, I'd say it comes down to.
Toddy, you're still a definite yes?
Yeah, I think Maddison, this was something that I've been looking for in the inner circle exclusive set piece takers articles by Draft Lad. and Madison has actually been or had actually been taking some of the sets from Tielemann even when he was on the pitch. And this is exactly what happened last season as well. Madison coming into form and taking the sets from Tielemann tanked Tielemann's value a bit and helped Madison regain some value. And I think that will be the case. So I don't think, yeah, obviously we can't expect 36 points from him every week, but I think but I think he'll be a decent like mid one. And therefore I don't see that there is a huge tier difference between Rafinha and Madison. Maybe half a tier or something like that. And adding Mane to that, it's a no-brainer.
Okay. All right, there you go. Person who will remain nameless. Okay, let's sign it off, boys. Brando, our friend Brisbane Brando, he asked us a couple of questions. We answered most of them, but one question does remain, which I will leave to you for your sign-off question. Say adios to the muchachos and muchachas, and tell us, what is your favorite Christmas movie, Toddy?
I have to go classic, unfortunately, and I know it's lame, but
if you say Miracle on 34th Street, I'm gonna
it's not unfortunate. No, classics are good.
No, it's Home Alone.
Oh, that's not. I mean, that's my wife and I just watched that.
That was mine.
This last week. Yeah,
that's our generation's Christmas movie for
right.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, in Hungary, it's the Christmas movie that goes. It's shown every single year. Because it used to be Home Alone on even years and Dennis the Menace in odd years, which is strange because that's not strange. A Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Chalk and cheese there.
Yeah. But now it's Home Alone every year. And actually the usual Christmas tradition is start watching it on the TV and turn it off in the first ad break and then watch it on a streaming service because you don't want to watch ads. But we always, for some reason, we kind of revert back to like 90s when we were looking at schedules and we're like, why are we looking at TV schedules when we can just put it on from any streaming service that we have on our phones? No, let's just look at the TV schedule. And we sit down and start doing some Christmassy stuff. And when the first ad break comes on, we just turn it off and continue watching from the streaming service. So it's a family tradition.
Sounds like a great tradition. Yeah, the holidays will do that to you. Put you in that state of mind. Get out the old TV guide and see what's coming up on Tuesday at 8:30.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Check it out. All right, Ryan, exactly. you said the same thing?
Yeah, Home Alone is my go-to, but since Toddy picked it already, this is an American classic. I don't know if you guys have seen it in Hungary, but it's called A Christmas Story. It's super super American, but it's not even that I really enjoy it that much anymore. It's just like it feels like it should be on at some point.
Yes.
On Christmas Day, or else it just wouldn't be Christmas. And some of the scenes are iconic. So yeah, that's probably it. And Die Hard as well.
I was gonna mention Die Hard, which definitely is a Christmas movie. Don't add us. It definitely is a Christmas movie. 100%. All right, boys. Thanks for joining. Listeners, thanks so much for sticking around. This has been a really good one. I hope we have prepped you at least as best we can here on a tight schedule for the insane rush that is about to come in terms of Premier League matches. I think we have, in the next 2 months, we have maybe one 7-day break from the Premier League. So just once. So buckle up. It's about to get wild. If you need anything, obviously, let us know. Better yet, I always say it, go ahead and start a conversation on Twitter. Make a post, tag us, we'll retweet it. Let's get the community involved. Let's talk about it and get valuable opinions from a lot of these community members who know exactly what they're talking about, sometimes more than us. So again, thank you for listening. This has been the Keep Ass Collective. We love y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.